This is a terrific piece of information. This could change my life.
An extraordinary thing happened.
All at once, he sees through his own skin. Like an X-ray, only better, he sees everything. Henry was now almost certainly capable of making money faster than any other person in the entire world. Interesting.
Yes, it is. Let's go.
Welcome to Cord Killers, the show about watching the stuff you love when you want, where you want, however you want. I'm Tom Merritt.
Hey, I'm Brian Brushwood, and Bryce Castillo. Am I confused or
yes. Like,
was that Doctor Strange or was that Sherlock? Who was it that just knows everything and is about to tell us an amazing story of somebody who unlocks the keys of the universe?
And if I may, why is Netflix trying to pull off a ripoff of Wes Anderson?
Great questions, guys. I'm trying to match the opposite.
It does. Yep.
Well, so that was a trailer for the Netflix's upcoming film, The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar, written and directed by Wes Anderson. Oh. That is Benedict Cumberbatch starring as a man who hopes to learn the skill of seeing without his eyes so that he can cheat at blackjack. That is streaming on Netflix September 27th. I think it looks really neat. That trailer is really interestingly made. The first time I watched it, I thought all the intercuts were like different snippets from different parts of the movie, right? Like a trailer. But then watching it the second time, I'm like, oh no, it's just like it's like really telling the story in that novel-like fashion. So that's gonna be 27.
We all hope this show does very, very well, but we hope it does well in the service of telling the real story of the true version of blackjack, which
is back in the day, there was a horse named Jack, and he had the most luscious, beautiful black fur because he had milk. Because the milk, this is real. I don't know what you're teeing me up for.
I would like this to do well so that it would make more popular the story of somebody solving the problem of blackjack and realizing that you should not actually play blackjack. You should play a-hole blackjack.
How could I have possibly?
Obviously, Bryce. Why didn't you see that? It was right there.
It was right there in front of me the whole time. So that's the wonderful story of Henry Sugar coming to Netflix.
Is nothing safe from Netflix? Can I just ask that question? They've locked up Wes Anderson now in their silver prison that no one can possibly get to.
Beautiful silver prison.
It gets worse. I've not seen it yet, Tom, and so I don't feel bad saying this, but I am told that in the second season of The After Party, they begin to do exact parodies, not of styles, but of specific directors. And there's one episode that is definitely Wes Anderson themed.
Got it. Well, that said, let's get to our primary target. Word on the street. Have you been on the street, Brian?
I try to avoid the street.
Okay, well, then I should tell you what the word is on the street. Okay. The word on the street is that Disney is entertaining offers from Byron Allen, owner of the Weather Channel, among other properties, as well as Nexstar. Nexstar owns a bunch of local television stations to buy ABC's local TV stations. And according to these reports, Allen might also buy the FX and National Geographic cable channels, just the cable channel part of that business. Nobody's commenting. Disney says it hasn't made any decisions yet. Nobody's getting anything yet. But it does sound like ABC is entertaining, at the very least, offloading all its local broadcast stations. ESPN shares broadcasts with ABC. So if they were to sell the entire thing, not just the local broadcast stations, but the IP and the ABC national network, somehow you'd have to unwind that. As we mentioned last week, Comcast moved up the date for settling the price of its share of Hulu and putting some pressure on the consolidation race. Disney settled with Charter, paying lower rates but dropping requirements that Charter carry 8 of its less viewed networks. Charter can also now sell Disney Plus to its customers. So with all of these together, all of these facts together, the Spectrum deal, the pushing up of the date that Comcast and Disney are kind of finally going to settle who owns the last piece of Hulu, the idea that Disney's going to sell off the ABC channels, the ABC network local stations, it looks to me, Brian, like Disney is setting the template for the post-cable world. So let me see if I have this right. Big studios will operate streaming services and create content mostly for themselves, although sometimes for others. Then let third parties like cable companies sell access to those services like they're doing with Spectrum and Disney Plus. Most people will just cut the cord, but a lingering and significant number of people will be slowly brought into cord cutting through their cable subscription. They'll keep getting the Byron Allen run cable channels until suddenly they're all gone and they're left with Disney Plus, Netflix, Hulu, etc.
So there's a science fiction story, series of stories where they talk about going post-physical. Like, it's the fashionable thing to do is you leave your dirty, filthy, dumb human body behind and you ascend to the clouds.
Let's look at the facts. Streaming services are in the cloud. Physical infrastructure, transmitters, cable network infrastructure going away. I don't know, Brian. I think you hit on something. That's a pretty good metaphor there.
Well, I think of it this way. Like, Netflix is not in the business of investing in a bunch of little tiny broadcasters all over, you know, North America.
Yeah, Netflix expansion plans does not include local broadcasters.
Exactly. And so maybe we're seeing ABC / Disney just sort of elevate to the cloud. They're going post-physical, as they would say in the Peter F. Hamilton books.
I am curious if ABC sticks around as a brand for Disney somehow, and they just license the IP to the Byron Allen stations. I don't think Byron Allen would want it if that were the case. So it does feel like they're selling off ABC. That's a big deal. It's a legacy brand. It was the lesser NBC. There were two NBCs for a while, and then they spun off the lesser one and it became ABC. But you know, that was half a century ago. So it's a legacy broadcaster. It would be odd if it was gone from Disney, but maybe they would do that. If they sell FX and National Geographic, I can't imagine they sell off the IP. Fargo and all the Nat Geo specials and the Nat Geo brand, that all feels too valuable for Disney to divest itself entirely of. I would feel like they're just saying, we'll license this stuff to you. You get the rights to use the name as a cable channel because we don't care about cable channels. So it does feel like, I've got a few questions about the details, but this is mostly just get rid of the physical stuff. Yes. We don't need transmitters. We don't need to distribute our content over wires that aren't the internet. We just want to go full on and, like you say, ascend into the cloud.
Right. But we don't need 75 independent distributors of our content, each one of which is having an argument with their local affiliate, FCC associate or whatever.
And we have to fight like we just did over like how much to pay for ESPN versus the third channel of the National Geographic, whatever. Let's just give you Disney Plus. You get a percentage cut of it. Yeah, we can negotiate that percentage every 10 years when the contract runs out, but that's way simpler.
Yeah, I you know what's fun? What's funny is I was trying to pitch this as like a joke idea, but you saying it back to me, I'm like, yeah, of course, that's what you do.
Yeah. And I think what we're going to see is a lot of people who have cable will one day wake up and realize they don't have cable anymore. They just have an internet box.
Go on.
So you're going to have the box that delivers you the cable channels. And like slowly over the next 20 years, the number of channels on that box is going to get smaller and smaller. But the cable company will say, well, hey, you know, you don't like the diminishing number of cable channels. no problem. You want to get that live sports that's on Amazon? We have the Bundle Plus that includes Amazon Prime Video, Disney Plus, Netflix, et cetera, because they're already doing that. They're already selling these things. They can create their own bundles out of them and sell them to you. And the people who aren't interested, the people who are definitely not listening or watching to the show, will say like, oh, sure, I whatever the new package is that gets me all the things and I can use my remote and get to them, fine. And then eventually the cable parts of those channels go away and they're just left with the streaming services.
There is a story that we'll bring up later where we'll talk about parts of this, but I think you're 100% right. Congrats. We won. We did it. We killed everyone.
There's nothing left. Until then, though, if you're an over-the-air subscriber, there's good news. This is also Disney-related. ABC, because of the writer's strike, this has nothing to do with any of the other stuff we were talking about, because of the writer's strike, ABC is going to simulcast a lot more Monday Night Football. They occasionally simulcast Monday Night Football from ESPN throughout the season. 10 more games on top of the few that were already scheduled this upcoming season, because there's nothing else to fill the schedule with. So Pilot in our Discord mentioned could get a lot more free football over the air this fall.
So sports my entire life has struck me as like a filler material, like just nonsense, random number generator, who cares, sure. Right? I've since learned that there are stories within stories within stories. You know, we've seen multiple, for example, the F1 project that brought Bryce to F1. I think it's kind of wonderful. Like, let's just have all of the random number generators and let us project upon them all of the appropriate archetypal stories and so on.
Yeah, that's what sports does. Yeah, pretty well said.
Yeah.
Speaking of numbers, pick one between 1 and 1,000, Brian.
Oh, I suppose $1.45.
1.45 is how much you should pledge to become a patron of Cord Killers at patreon.cordkillers. Brian, what do they get?
I mean, they do get to keep us loud, live, and independent, but I mean, I just demand a lot more of all of our bosses.
How much? A lot more.
I think I gave them a break last week, but now, no, it's back up. 145. 145 per episode. I think you could afford that.
Wait, what?
$1.45 per episode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wait.
Do it.
Are we disagreeing or no?
No, I think we're agreeing.
Okay.
Great. I just expressed it in Korean currency because I just got back from vacation. So I wanted to force that into the conversation.
You know what? Let's put a pause on the Patreon talk. Tell me about Korea.
It's great.
Yeah?
Yeah. I ate most of Korea that I could find.
Okay.
I ate pork. I ate pastries. I ate fish. I ate everything I could find, Brian. It's the most delicious country I've ever been to.
You know we have fish here, right?
Yeah, but not like that. I went to a fish market in Busan. The fish were still swimming. I said, give me that one, and that one. And they said, great, go upstairs. We'll cook them and bring them up to you.
Oh, wow.
That's
you fresh. Can't get that. You can't get that in America.
Tom,
actually, you probably can, but
I think it's unfair that you had that experience and Bryce and I did not. Mm-hmm. And the only way to make things right is for people to up their pledge
to
$1.45 per episode of Cord Killers to keep us live and independent. Head on over to patreon.com/cordkillers. Get early access, especially the after talk as we figure out whatever the new meta is that we're about to do.
Because everything's over. We got to figure it out. You need to get that, folks. All right. Let's move on to what to watch and under surveillance.
It's all about location.
This is what not to watch because you can't anymore to start us out. And then we'll get to things to watch. Variety worked with a company called Luminate to estimate who cancels TV series the most. turns out broadcast television, 26.6% of broadcast TV shows were canceled between 2020 and August 8th, 2023. Streaming came in second at 12.2%. Cable, of those three platforms, canceled the fewest at 7.2%. Now, you may say, great, fine, whatever, streaming's the future. We all know that you just mentioned how broadcast and cable are dying. Of the streamers, Max canceled the most series, witnessed the recent bloodbath of DC cancellation, so that makes sense, followed by Disney Plus, Paramount Plus, Hulu, and Netflix in that order. Apple TV Plus canceled the least in that survey period.
Would I be a bad person if I pointed out that this is probably the least surprising way that everything would have unfolded? Because you have broadcast television, which has a limited time window, limited availability, limited prestige, and they either need to have mega hits or nothing at all. And then, you know, you go down through the ranks and then you end up with Apple TV Plus, who is sitting on a bazillion D dollars and also, like, they sell phones. All they want to do is make people happy. Like, and maybe it's because I rewatched The After Party, but it's like, that is definitely a company who only wants the accoutrement that comes from being awesome and doesn't really care about actually being awesome.
Yeah, they could take the most risk and be like, yeah, why cancel it? We sunk this much money into it. Whereas broadcast is like, that didn't work. Keep trying. Cancel that one. Faster, faster. Keep trying things. We need to get the diminishing audience to watch something, by gosh. That's why they talk in broadcasting.
Well, and also, that's always how they've talked. And I think they've gotten a bit of a bump because they've always been able to inspire like true fear, like, hey kid, you made it, you have a show, you better dedicate your entire life to making sure it's absolutely excellent, because otherwise that's it, you're dead.
Yeah. And another thing along these same lines, I don't think it should be surprising that cable is behind streaming, because streaming is having to be more experimental right now because it's hitting the wall of saturation. There are too many services. We've gone through the phase of everybody trying stuff. Now everybody's trying to make things work. So when that happens, you start cutting things. Like, well, you start being a little more like broadcast. Cable's got a little more luxury of like, yeah, we're declining, but at least our income is guaranteed by a contract for a certain period of time. So there's a little less volatility there.
Seems to me that when you get to your Netflixes and all of your, you know, your fringe over the top services, that's where you're, if you begin there, like, what's the worst that is going to happen? You're going to do seven seasons instead of 12, you know, like, yeah, maybe, I don't know.
We were mentioning the cancellations at Max earlier. Speaking of DC shows, Warner Brothers released another trailer for Aquaman and The Lost Kingdom. That's one movie, Aquaman and The Lost Kingdom. The movie is still on the schedule for December 20th, 2023, for now. Beginning of the trailer felt like an insurance commercial to me. I don't know about you.
I mean, it seems sweet.
I'm a father of two fish and a working man. I'm just trying to get by.
You know what? You're actually talking me out of being in love with this.
It looks awful. I thought it looked awful. Okay.
All right. I give you permission to talk me into believing this.
I mean, I'm sure it's fine.
No, it looks awful. You know what was great about Aquaman was how serious and dramatic it was. Not when Flo Rida was doing Africa by Toto. No, no, no. We all cared about how dramatic and serious Aquaman was.
He's just a real person like you and me, but also head of a whole secret underwater empire.
Yeah.
I wonder if this one's also going to have a drumming octopus in it. Probably not.
It's hard to want to participate in hating Jason Momoa, but... by Jason God, you guys are right. This is garbage. Yeah. Everything looks like garbage.
Jason Momoa is one.
Is this the last pre-James Gunn, or is there another one yet to come?
I think pre-James Gunn. It's definitely the last of. Yeah. Whatever you want to say after that.
Yeah. Apple released a new teaser for season 4 of For All Mankind, which will pick up in an alternate 2003, debuting globally Friday, November 10th on Apple TV+, followed by one new episode weekly every Friday through January 12th. This one felt like a corporate commercial, but on purpose, because it was a parody corporate commercial from within the universe of the show.
Right. So if I recall correctly, and I really enjoyed just hearing your journey through the show, basically, this is a case of what if both the USSR and the USA effed everything up, and finally somebody, you know, SpaceX alternative.
The main premise is the Soviet Union lands on the moon first. And because of that, no one ever leaves the moon. It just accelerates the moon race to where we're doing moon bases in the 70s. And it has continued with that premise through the 80s and the 90s, changing presidential elections. You don't have Watergate. You have Clinton and Reagan earlier than you would have had them otherwise. And so there is a sort of proxy for SpaceX that comes along earlier than SpaceX. So it would have been when Elon Musk was still coding Blastar, that this Helios company comes along. And that's what this teaser is. It's a teaser for the company Helios, trying to get you to join the movement of Helios, private space flight for everybody.
So, I've asked this before, but if you were to advise somebody, what is their injection point? When should people begin For All Mankind?
At the beginning.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
It's great. Great from the beginning. Great from the get-go. And I don't think it's as impactful if you don't watch how they get there. Because it's fun to be like, oh, right. Well, of course, we've got Gary Hart doing this now because this didn't happen. So this didn't happen, et cetera, et cetera. There's a trailer for the reboot of Frasier coming October 12th to Paramount Plus because people want more Frasier.
Hey, Tom.
Yep.
I liked Frasier quite a bit.
Did you?
Yeah. No, yeah. I liked it quite a bit.
Your toss salad and
I watched
scrambled eggs.
This trailer.
Frasier.
This treasure.
Treasure. You treasured it.
And I thought to myself, why do I hate this?
I you know what? I actually didn't watch that much Frasier. I watched it on and off. I loved Cheers, though. So whenever I did watch Frasier, I liked the Cheers in it. Maybe there's just no Cheers in this.
Well, also, there's no his brother, Nigel. There's no his dad. There's no...
It's just him.
Him
in Boston.
In Seattle, fish out of water, doing psychological radio. Like
maybe, well,
I don't know what this is. It's just...
That's the problem. The trailer doesn't tell you what this is other than like Frasier in a bar that isn't Cheers.
Yeah, I kind of hated everyone.
I mean, I see the premise here, right? Like he goes back to Boston to be with his kid, and he gets a job as like a hoity college professor, and then it's wackety schmackety. It's like it's a little wackety schmackety. Yeah, like by not having the father, the older father from the original show, or someone that we see in that archetype just yet, the contrast of it is a little missing.
Frasier like they, is the so, older
somebody of the greatest this. Generation, and here you have this kind of boomer.
They try to like, I think they try to like trick you with this the gray haired man in the trailer. I think he's probably like I bet he's going to be a college professor, but not as central as the father had been in the previous series. I watched a lot of Frasier, actually, now that I think about it.
Oh, look at that. Yeah. Well, I hope Andrew Heaton does a podcast about it. That's all I have to say. In the latest alternate broadcast announcement, ESPN says it will do a Toy Story version of its broadcast of the October 1st NFL game that's coming from London. So with these alternate broadcasts, they do the regular broadcast. They're not chained replacing it. They just give you an alternate one. This game is going to be at 9:30 in the morning in the U.S. because it's taking place in London. So they're giving it a suitable morning kids show kind of feel. Instead of just alternate commentary, there's going to be animated versions of the Falcons and Jaguar players on the field. So they'll do live replacement of the players with these faceless automatons that will take place on a field set in Andy's room from Toy Story, while Woody, Buzz, Jesse, and Bo Peep provide the commentary from the sidelines, and a halftime show from Keanu Reeves voiced Duke Kaboom.
So,
what's not to love, Brian?
Well, look, in principle, I love all of this experimentation. I love, ultimately, all sports is a random noise generator. Mm-hmm. Here's another opportunity to make that approachable by projecting various stories onto things. However, maybe I'm approaching my outmost boundaries of tolerance for whatever this is.
What do you mean? What? Wait, can you expound on that? Oh, no. Go ahead, Tom.
It's an actual football game with actual humans who have actual interesting stories.
Yeah, and now and kids will know what they're
effing cartoon out of it. Mm-mm.
And now kids will know how, like, kids will be interested. Like, F1 is doing the same thing, F1 Kids or something, and they're using 3D avatars and colorful graphics. It's getting kids interested in sports as a stepping stone that maybe didn't used to always be there.
I don't know if this will be the final form, probably not, but I am curious what they learn doing this live replacement. Like, what kinds of things will they do this and go like, oh, that really worked, that was interesting, or what if we did this? Like, this is new technology, the ability to track live and replace at, you know, in real time. All kinds of interesting things you can do with this. It reminds me of that NBA VR game where they basically did like video game versions of the players that you could see, you could look down into the court and see.
Yeah.
If you were going to place a bet, good bet, bad bet, what they're doing right now, because I don't think this is going to work really well.
I don't know. If I bet against it though, it would be because kids just won't be that interested in it.
Right. Because why would they? It's a 25-year-old franchise with a sport they don't know the rules to. Why on earth would any child under 12
be interested?
They'll be
interested in it for 5-10 minutes and then get bored, is my guess.
Yep.
But maybe not. Yeah.
I mean, they did the Nickelodeon one multiple times, and that was not even in a franchise. That was just, hey, we got the guy who voices Patrick Starr because he likes football, and we got slime. Like, this is at least a concerted effort.
Successful, though? Do we know?
I know.
Was it? I just don't
know. I know. I really wanted to watch those streams, and I couldn't. I wanted to watch the first F1 Kids broadcast a few months ago, and they didn't have it. They just did one this weekend, and I haven't got a chance to watch it, but now they do have it available.
We're forgetting, Brian. Cartoons are never for the kids. They're for the adults.
I mean, the good ones, yeah.
Yeah. So maybe this will have enough stuff appealing to the adults?
I will not be tuning into this.
Were you going to watch the regular games?
No.
I will listen to my friend Justin describe to me what was good about these games.
That's a good plan. Finally, Disney Plus announced that Loki will premiere a day early, Thursday, just actually a few hours earlier, Thursday, October 5th at 9 p.m. Eastern, instead of the previously announced Friday premiere. And those Friday premieres are usually like 2 or 3 in the morning. So they're going to give you that first Loki early so that you feel like you're getting something special.
Do you think that's them playing a long game and trying to establish like a special night that they're going to own or whatever? Because no, I've always thought that Friday was a week night for...
It's going to be Fridays every day, every week after that. It's just the first one that comes early. I think that's a play to get everybody talking about it.
Yeah.
Because everybody gets excited that it's, we're getting it early.
This feels like a headlines move. Like, you change it. Because they've done this before, where they move the date right before it comes out. So you can, Loki's coming out in 3 weeks. Remember that?
Like, they freaking did it with Avengers, remember? Like the movie. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what we've had our eyes on. What kind of buried treasure have you been putting in your eyes, Brian?
Tom, we had a wonderful adventure on Friday night. I booked a lot of tickets, took a lot of people to go see Tenacious D live. It was a long, long night. But one of the mix was my old college friend, Brady. And we came back home, and it's like here at HQ, it's like, hey, have you ever watched Our Flag Means Death? And so I did the thing that I do where it's like I try to trick you to just watching a little bit, and then suddenly it's 7 hours later and you've watched most of it. I'm like, what are we going to do, not continue to watch it now? But it was when we got to the episode with Calico Jack and Blackbeard is pulled away from his responsibilities because his old college buddy Calico Jack has shown up. And I was like, oh, you're okay.
Who knew that? Oh.
Season two of Our Flag Means Death is coming out soon. I'm very, very excited about it. It's such a good show. It's a very, very good show.
That's great. That's great. Of course, as I mentioned, I was on vacation for a couple of weeks, so I saw a lot of Korean daytime TV, which I planned to talk about a little, but then we started watching a show on Netflix on Sunday called, I guess on Saturday, called A Time Called You, which I thought would be kind of cute, and we've blazed through 8 episodes in 2 days, even with our jet lag. We just could not stop watching it. The weird part is it is based on, I think, a webtoon and has been produced as a show in Taiwan before. Eileen has watched that show in Taiwan, and she's still invested in watching this Korean version of it. The premise is that a woman in the present day, her fiance has disappeared in a plane crash. It's a plane crash. They haven't found the bodies. And so it's a year on from the plane crash, and she's finally deciding whether she's just going to give up, when someone sends her a picture from the past of her, her boyfriend, and another person, except that picture was never taken. She doesn't remember it. She doesn't know where that was. And so she goes and tries to investigate where this picture came from, is given a cassette player, and when she plays it, she wakes up in the body of the girl from the picture, who is not her. She's in the past, and she's friends with a guy who looks like her fiance, except it's not him. He's got a different name, and he's too old. In fact, both of them are too old, because it's 1998 when she wakes up, and she would have been like 6 and her boyfriend 10 or something like that. So she's like, what is going on? Why do these people look like me? Why are we intertwined? Why is this person sending me this picture? And it's one of those time travel, romance, murder, mystery things that I can't tell you more about without spoiling it. But it does a great job of making you want to watch the next episode at the end of each episode. So I think it's dubbed. So even if you're not into Korean dramas and you don't read subtitles, I think you can still enjoy it. It's called A Time Called You.
Is there a particular narrative hook that you can reveal to us that?
Yes.
Maybe not without spoiling.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to think. Well, one hook for you, Brian, is episodes are an hour or less.
That's good.
Which I know is important. I think there's only 12 episodes. But yeah, I'm trying to think of a good hook that isn't spoilery. But essentially, it all ties together, and it doesn't violate my own personal principles of time travel. So if you like a mystery and you like sort of nostalgia, and you want to be able to try to puzzle something out that's very complex but will make sense, this is a good show for you.
Can we promise to totally spoil everything in the after talk segment?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
I don't mind if you don't. Yeah.
Got it.
Bryce, what should we be on the lookout for?
Hey, I got a pick for you guys. I over the weekend ended up binging something, and I've got an entirely original, brand new suggestion for everyone here on the Cord Killers program. It's called The After Party on Apple TV Plus.
Oh, this is my favorite thing, is watching the waves go outward. Yes.
Yeah, this is great. This is a murder mystery comedy drama dramedy on Apple TV Plus. A murder happens, as often does in TV shows. And Tiffany Haddish is there as a not so great cop, but she's entertaining. I'm sorry, Brian's doing like this little dance, and it's
okay. And you know what I'm thinking in my head, like you can hear it too.
Well, see, that's the thing. Okay, I wanted to bring this up because I don't like musical comedy, and you really like musical comedy, and you really sold me on the second episode with all the music and stuff, and I don't like that. I didn't like any of that. I liked everything else other than
that. It was the third episode, but that's fine. Okay, keep going.
Anyway, they got the second season out now, which is a sequel. They actually do a fun, cute thing in the first episode of calling it Anik 2, the name of the main character. So check it out. Very good cast. Very really well written. The first season is directed by Chris Miller of Lord & Miller, and it's created by him. And it's got that pace. You know, if you've seen Lord & Miller stuff before, whether you're talking about the Lego Movie or The Last Man on Earth, you just get a really rapid fire style of comedy that is really, really good and layers well on top of a murder mystery, right? You forget that you're supposed to be keeping an eye on details. And I completely forgot to mention the whole twist of the thing is that every episode they're talking to one of the folks who are at the scene of the crime. And as that person is recounting what happened that night, the story that we see as a viewer is put through the lens of another movie or a genre.
Okay.
And so you have a Fast and the Furious style action movie because this guy thinks he's a badass when none of that ever really actually happened.
And you have a rom-com episode, and then you have an adorable musical episode.
Apparently a Wes Anderson episode.
Yep.
So that's the after party. Any thoughts from any of the other panelists on this particular program that I'm bringing to the table for the very first time?
Bryce. Never heard of it. I'm glad you finally brought something to
You're
me,
welcome,
Bryce.
Tom.
I wish someone had told me about this earlier.
Bryce, I, the most challenging thing in my life right now is to very secretly watch one episode at a time of season two and not tell my family. I keep watching. I've watched episode one of season two like five times because we're all supposed to watch it as a family. But meanwhile, I just keep wanting to move a little bit further on. It's great. It's a great show. I'm really, really glad you enjoy it.
Yeah. So everyone check that out. That's on Apple TV Plus. It's called The After Party. There's a second season now. If you've got something we should be on the lookout for, please email it to us. Our email address is cordkillers@gmail.com. Thank you.
If you want to hear my perspective on technology in Korea and get some pictures from my travels, go to freetimenewsletter.com. My last issue was What I Learned in Korea. And includes some funny tech pictures I found. There was a Korean museum where they had a beeper and a cell phone in the museum, which I found entertaining. Some stuff from an immersive exhibition. And then my write-up of SIM cards and data while traveling and some recommendations that might be useful for you no matter where you travel. You can go find that at freetimenewsletter.com on your computer, Brian.
Yeah, and if you're going to have a computer, you might as well have one that, you know, allows us to do this show. Head on over to doghousesystems.com/rogue, spell it right, R-O-G-U-E. Buy something from there. You'll get a little bit extra. You'll be keeping us in business because all of our computers, looks left, looks right, are borrowed from Doghouse Systems.
So please keep them distracted. Let's move on to the front lines.
Frontlines.
Do hotcakes still sell really fast?
You know what? I could call all three of my daughters and their answer will be, what's a hotcake?
But if I say selling like hotcakes to them, will they know what that means?
They're like, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
What should I say if I want to say selling like hotcakes to Gen Z?
It's got to be Pokemon related.
Selling like Charizards.
Yeah.
Anyway, theaters are selling a lot of tickets to the cinema presentation of Taylor Swift's Eras Tour. Some theaters let you buy a whole auditorium just for you and your friends for $800. The movie version of the concert has earned $26 million in pre-sale tickets in advance of its October 13th showing, and it's on track to open past $100 million, which would make it one of the top six films this year. Only five films this year have earned more than $100 million domestically.
I'm here for it.
Are you? Will you be there for it on October 13th?
Oh, no. I'm not actually going to go to the show, but I love...
Are you ready for it?
I do love the idea that people re-envision what it means to go to the movie theater. The movie theater at its core is not so much like, you know, you're watching a moving picture show. What it is you're there for the event, for the thing that does the thing. And this is something that the Alamo Drafthouse has been excellent about. Like, I remember going and paying money. I have no idea how much money I spent, but I definitely competed in an Atari 2600 tournament. And it was great.
Yeah. So you have no bad blood with theaters. You're a theater lover.
I mean, if I did have bad blood, I would just shake it off.
That's good. That's good. Well, I hope that the folklore of theater tales continues.
We're never getting over this bit, are we?
Okay. Hulu has launched a daily list of its top 15 streaming shows, be they movie, TV. Hulu subscribers will see 15 on their top homepage. This list is updated daily. It's based on total views at the episode level. This comes as we are after we reported on Max's top 10 list feature this week. Basically, turns out people really, really like being validated to know that they're seeing a thing that other people are seeing as well.
Yeah. MTV's Video Music Awards rose in viewership, bucking the trend of declining award show viewers. It didn't raise a lot. It was essentially flat with 3.9 million from last year, but the viewing on MTV itself rose 37%. The rest of the viewing was spread between Paramount's other networks that also air the show. People did watch for longer, too. So total minutes consumed of the VMAs were up 14.5% with 1.8 billion compared to last year's 1.6 billion.
Is all of that a play for just legitimacy, do you think? Or
the fact that people watched the show is a play for legitimacy?
Yeah. Like obviously they put a lot of effort into it, and I suspect that they didn't make their money back on advertisers. I suspect that what they want to do is establish we are a thing that people watch. Live. We've talked before about how important live entertainment is, and how people sometimes try to do musicals in place of sports or what have you.
Yeah, it sounded to me like just more people watched it, so they probably did make more money than usual.
Yeah.
No. What am I missing?
No, I'm just wondering if
Are you saying that because this is a new, like they made this a news story to bring more?
Yeah, because Variety does this story whether the VMAs tank or otherwise. They're going to just report whatever the numbers were, and the numbers were good. Specifically, the minutes watched I thought was important. So it sounds to me like they literally did better than they usually do.
Well, and what I'm assuming is if the numbers are better, it's because they invested more in it, and that's the second layer that I want to think.
Or the numbers are better because people are actually more interested in it. And one of the reasons they might be more interested in it was that Taylor Swift was getting an award and was there and just had the Eras Tour and is super popular. So more people were like, oh, I want to see Taylor at the VMA. She's always hilarious there. Okay. And NSYNC was appearing to present something. And there were a lot of people hoping they would drop a hint about whatever they're going to do.
Okay. All right. Actually, you have solved my question. That's good. as Netflix winds down its DVD by mail service on September 29th, Seattle's Scarecrow Video Rental Store, the largest independent video store in the country, is starting one. This is not the same as Netflix, though. You have to get approved by a staff member. Shipping costs $12 for up to 6 discs. You get the discs for 14 days, after which you have to renew by phone, or otherwise you'll have to pay late fees. But Scarecrow has 140,000 titles available compared to Netflix's 5,000 titles. Although Scarecrow won't mail VHS or Laserdiscs. I don't know if you got one, Tom, but Bryce and I were emailed or physically mailed a DVD from Netflix.
Yeah, a listener sent in, sent Brian and I discs in. I think, Tom, you did not, you requested to not
I
be sent.
I politely declined, yes. But I was offered, yeah. I just thought it was interesting that there, first of all, there's a big independent video store still kicking, you know, because while demand has dropped, demand didn't disappear. So somebody who's still really good at it can still make a go of it. And they're like, well, if nobody else is going to rent by mail, we will. We'll have late fees and it'll be expensive, but there's no competition. So if you want it, here it is. So I think it's great. Amazon's Prime Video drew 16.6 million viewers for the return of Thursday Night Football, making it the most streamed NFL game yet for Amazon, up 16% compared to the equivalent week in 2022, drew a peak of 17 million viewers and was the most watched program of the week on television among people between the ages of 18 and 34. The idea that if TV football went to streaming, it would hurt the audience isn't true. Some Correct. People thought that, and it looks like plenty of people who complained about, well, I don't want to have to get Prime Video, got Prime Video, and it was the most watched thing on television. So, again, not a surprise for us. I get where you're going, Brian, there, but validation that, like, yes, indeed, in fact, 16, you can draw tens of millions of viewers with the streaming service.
Well,
so we're going to see all the sports is going to go there. That's just the way it's going
to
go.
Maybe there's a discussion to be had in a future episode about the lack of friction to slide into a new environment. I gave up our shared Paramount Plus subscription simply because Amazon was better at delivering a 21:9 widescreen, ultra widescreen format for the exact same content. And
yeah,
I wonder if there's something about like the ease of moving from one thing to another that plays into this.
That was really interesting. Brian sent me screenshots to show me. Basically, when you did full screen on his monitor, the Paramount Plus app wouldn't fill the screen, but the Amazon Video app would. Well, it isn't an app, right? It's a website. It doesn't even matter. The point being, Paramount Plus is very clearly focused on the television, not supporting multiple monitor sizes, and Amazon was. So they were able to fill Brian's screen, no problem, which is interesting. It is a lower percentage of the audience, right, that watches on a monitor versus a television, but it's not insignificant. All right, let's move to the dispatches from the front. Adam wrote, "Hey, Cord Killers, a weird thing happened to me today. I don't understand. Hoping to get your insight. I was trying to watch a show I had read about called The Tourist, which debuted in 2022. So it's not that old of a show. The article mentioned that it premiered on HBO Max, so I assumed it'd be on Max now. I use Apple TV, so I searched for it, but Apple TV showed the result, but gave me the option to open it in Amazon Prime. When I went to Prime, it said I can only watch the show if I had a trial of Max. So I thought, okay, it was really on Max and Apple TV was just wrong. When I went to the Max app, the show was nowhere to be found. So I checked Just Watch on my phone and it only lists one way to watch it. It shows a logo that appears to combine Max and Amazon Prime Video called Max Prime Video Channels. I've never seen this before. When I tap on that logo on my phone, it just opens Amazon Prime Video and tells me I need a trial to see Max. What the heck is going on here? I have Max, I have Amazon Prime, yet I still can't seem to watch this show. Is there a third exclusive streaming option here that requires Max, but specifically through Amazon Prime? As if streaming wasn't confusing enough. I appreciate any insight you have." Well, Adam, I can start by explaining that icon. That icon says, if you have Amazon Prime Video, you can add Max as a channel to Prime Video and then get the show. You almost never see that in Just Watch without the equivalent service on its own. So it is unusual to see just the Max with Amazon Prime Video and not Max, because theoretically, everything that's on Max should also be on Max through Amazon Prime Video. That's just the way Just Watch can tell you, like, well, if you don't have the Max service, but you have Prime Video, you could add it on there. That's why you saw the free trial. I don't understand why Just Watch is only showing the Amazon Prime version of Max. Brian, do you have a guess?
I mean, I would guess that behind the scenes, the whole business model of Just Watch appears to be, hey, would you like us to point people to you? Let's talk money. And my guess is behind the scenes, there was a discussion and it was more profitable to do it this way.
Except it does not appear to be there on Amazon Prime Video. It's just listed on Just Watch. So I don't think it's actually in the Max on Amazon Prime Video either, which makes me wonder if it's just the data from the Amazon version of Max didn't update on Just Watch.
I've got a little bit of information about this. So The Tourist.
Okay, cool.
So The Tourist was a Max original, but for season two, Max detached themselves from the show. It looked like they removed The Tourist on Max on September 8th, so about a week and a half ago. And so it could be that the Amazon channels are slow to update. And maybe it just doesn't mirror Max one-to-one right away. It does look like they're still making The Tourist, and there is a season two out in the on the BBC and in other countries.
In other markets.
But in America, maybe Max sold the rights to another streamer who hasn't put it up
yet. Listed it, yeah. Well, that would bolster my assumption that this is just Watch is looking at two different databases, and one of those databases isn't up to date yet. Well, folks, that is it for this episode of Cord Killers. Brian, I don't think things are going to look the same next week.
I was about to say, like, it's not just the end of this episode, is it?
It's the end of an era, not the Taylor Swift kind either.
I mean, can we just speak plainly? We did it. We killed all the cords. We called a revolution. It happened. All the cords are murdered, dead. They're all bleeding out electromagnetic frequencies all over the place.
Insulation, everything.
We're about to enter a new world. What that world looks like, that's what we'll discuss in the Patreon-only content.
I reckon you'll have to get the patron at patreon.com/cordkillers, or just tune in next week and you'll find out. Our website is cordkillers.com. Our email address is cordkillers@gmail.com. We are live at twitch.tv/nightattack Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. Will we talk to you next week? Yes.
Hey, Tom Merritt, what's going on?
I'm just hanging out here watching this scroll go by. What are you doing?
Trying to set up a bit where we thank our beautiful, beautiful patrons, all these wonderful names.
I'm sorry,
names.
I'm too distracted looking at these beautiful, beautiful patron names going by. Look at that one. I mean, if you wanted to be one of these people, patreon.com/cordkillers would be the place to go.
I mean, they're scratching our itch, like, because we're addicted.
As long as it's consensual, like,
we're addicted to their money.
And love. Might as well face it.
Well, God damn it.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.